Yeah.
Is it all right?
What do you mean?
Is it going to be all right?
What, the show?
Yeah.
No, the show's never all right.
It's off the rails already.
It's...
I don't even know what's happening.
I don't even...
Tony fucked up.
I didn't fuck up. Where's he at on Saturday? No, I'm saying for Saturday. Took a fucking screenshot.
Woo! What are we doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know. Fucking doing my job?
I know, but you got a show to run here. And yeah, you know, we do something every time the show starts.
Focus!
Come on now.
I'm sorry that I could fucking juggle many, many tasks and you're over here fucking, and you can't.
That's not the case.
No, it is the case.
I think you're dropping.
You're rattled.
I think you're dropping balls as a juggler.
You're rattled because Vegas has caught up to you on the WNBA.
God bless it. I knew it.
You're fucking rattled, dude. Oof. Don't you take out your bullshit on me.
Just start the show, right? These people have there you go.
Vegas didn't even know people were betting on WNBA, and they're like, oh, shit, we should start paying attention.
Good afternoon, gamblers.
T-Bone.
This is Bro, 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 Bats, a podcast for degenerates by degenerates. I am joined by Todd McComas.
Hey.
Jeff Gorman.
Oh, there we go.
And Kyle Gump Cathcart.
Gumpy!
Glad to see
Let's
this,
go.
Hailing from Canada. Congrats on your NBA title.
Yeah, how about
Thank
that?
Thank you.
Congrats on your NBA title. When do you get your ring?
The whole country gets one, right?
As soon as Drake responds to that tweet yesterday, I'll get my ring.
He's not fucking responding. We have today a full show of MLB. Is it WNBA tonight?
WNBA.
WNBA and the Buffalo Bills and our 32 teams in 32 days-ish. Hope everyone is enjoying that. We start every show with the right side. And I don't know if you boys were checking the Action app last night, during the night. Things were not going well.
No.
But we turned it around. I mean, at one point, there was an 0-6 spot up there. Turned it around to 3-3. With one game left, the Washington and Philly got rained out, pushing it to tomorrow. I don't know if it got pushed back. Did it get pushed back because of rain or Scherzer's nose?
Well, and then Scherzer's not even scheduled to pitch today, no.
Did you see he broke his fucking nose?
That's a good bunt.
It was...
That's exactly why it should be all DHs in all leagues.
Couldn't agree more. Lesson to the kids, though. Don't half-ass. Don't lollygag during your drills.
No.
You'll catch one right in the fucking nose.
Put the wood out there.
I mean, the guy's a professional. Apparently, he's, you know, Max goes to work every day and does what he's supposed to do.
Gump's right, though. You don't ask your chef, that five-star chef in your kitchen, to go seat people. You know what I mean, Todd?
I couldn't agree more.
You just cook. Just do what you do best and just cook.
Couldn't agree more. We lost Arizona first five. I believe that was a toddy boy right there. That happens.
Yeah.
Hey, that happened, Todd. That happens.
Yeah, that happens.
Got the Minnesota win though in 17.
How about that?
Hey,
fucking, they were
finally
down in the 8th and 9th. Fucking get it in 17. To Gumpy's Boston Red Sox.
They were down in the 13th too.
They were down a couple times.
In the 17th, the Sox had a guy on third. Nobody
couldn't get him
out.
In. Couldn't get him in.
I was watching it at the airport.
They can't play small ball.
No,
they can't play small ball. I got absolutely ass fucked on.
Oh, I don't want to hear about this.
The Mets and Braves game. I had under first five. What's his name?
Tarian.
Nope. Michelle
DeGrom.
Like Michelle Tarian.
Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom
held his own.
Oh yeah, he was
Julio Tehran did not hold his own.
No,
he gave up six. Tough. And then they lost 10-2. I had the Braves and the under. It was a tough loss. That's a tough one, man. I mean,
walk it off.
The stats were there for it.
Mm-hmm.
The stats were there for it. But you know, sometimes it just doesn't happen. I had the over 8.5 though. Detroit and Pittsburgh.
Good call.
Easy cover. Houston -180. Who was that? Huh? Anyone want to claim that one? Gorms?
Let me look.
Gorms, I know it was you. You don't have to look. I know what you
Let
took.
Me look.
And I know that Cincinnati has dominated Houston the last two games.
That was not me.
Hi. Beg to differ.
I had the Mets Braves, dude. I said Braves are coming back. I said this thing's going. It wasn't my best bet, but I had Julio Tehran.
Okay, it was me. Fuck you guys. Fuck you guys. I believe that was my best bet as well.
Yeah, it was for sure.
Yeah.
Hey, because you were like, I'll take the 190, but I need a W.
I mean, come on. How did they lose that game?
They haven't been playing well.
Verlander gave up three in the first.
Yeah,
I know.
Unbelievable.
What the fuck?
Give up a big,
what are we doing here?
Big fly, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Huge homer.
That happens. Well, you know what? That happens. We move on. You know, That's in the past. We're not gonna dwell on that, are we?
No, it's a new day.
How did we do on our best bets yesterday?
Not great. I'm gonna go here. My World Cup, Women's World Cup best bet, Italy, Brazil. I went over the 2.5. I was like, why is it so low? The last time these two teams played, they scored 5 and 8 goals combined. 1-0 victory, Brazil over Italy. So my over there, 2.5, fell flat.
Gorms, that puts you at 0-3.
That's all right.
For the
That's
week.
All right.
We're sorry, buddy.
Todd, did you win your best bet?
I lost it. I had Houston over Cincinnati.
Puts you at 1-2. I'm also at 1-2. Oh,
so boy. we got a boat race here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
we're close.
Not one of our best weeks, but you know, this is where we come back now. We'll do our best bets right now. Gumpy's going to join in on it. Gorms, you get to go first, though, as the
0-3.
Let's get this baby started.
Whoa. I just burnt every piece of skin in my mouth, by the way, on that last drink of coffee. So, yeah, it's going to be a good day.
Wow.
I have no skin left in there.
The show started off the rails, and it has never got back on them. So just continue with that.
Kind of fitting. I'm thinking Women's World Cup again today for my best
great.
Bet. But after Todd burned his mouth, I took that as a sign, so I'm going to go to the WNBA. I'm taking the New York Liberty, yes, the team that lost 17 in a row and then won 2 of their next 3. They're playing the tough Chicago Sky, but the New York Liberty are -2.5. That line has already moved. That opened at 2.5. It's already moved to 2.0. But I'm a believer, Todd. New York Liberty's cooking something. Tina Charles, as you know.
Tina Chuck, I call her.
She can do, Chucky.
I tell you what, she is a, you know, whatever she's
a winner.
I would say a beast because that's usually what I refer to people. But you don't want to say that to a female.
No, so Todd. Here's what she is.
She's like a powerful
woman,
goddess.
She is the straw that will stir the New York Liberty drink. My best bet: New York Liberty -2.5 WNBA against the Chicago Sky. I need it because I took a slap on the face last night with the Washington Mystics and LA Sparks.
It's okay.
They only lost by 29.
Hey, right. That happens.
That does, and it happened to me. I got kicked right in the shorts. So there's my best bet, Tony.
Just go around the room. Gump, you got a best bet for us today, buddy?
I'm going to go Arizona at home.
Okay.
First 5, -150.
The D-backs?
Granke's on the mound.
Oh,
2.65 ERA. The guy's been one of the best pitchers in baseball all year. I can't pass that up.
I mean, I love that you've been listening to the show. Big first 5 guy coming in on the show.
All first 5s, man. As soon as the bullpen gets involved,
you never know.
It's right out the window.
You don't know who's coming out of that bullpen. No. You don't know if the manager's picking favorites.
It's a nightmare.
Todd, who's your best bet?
My best bet is Oakland first 5 run line.
Hey-o!
At home against Baltimore. Chris Bassett starts for the A's, 3-3, 3.68 ERA. I like him over Yakabonis for the Orioles, 1-1, 5.4 ERA. Yakabonis' last only start at home. He pitched 6.1 innings, gave up 4 earned runs. Oakland is 9th in the league in runs scored in the first 5. Baltimore is 23rd in the league scoring runs in the first 5. Let's go.
Todd, just incredible stats there. Did you also know that the Orioles are dead last for day games? They're 7-21.
Oh, thank you so much. Let me put extra.
And Yakabonis, if you guys didn't know that, is not a starting pitcher. They're one of these teams that do the opening pitcher.
Yes, yeah.
Well, throws an inning or two.
And guess what? I don't know why you do that because the Orioles have the 28th best bullpen over the last 30 days. So, I mean, they're going to run out a bunch of fucking bums, and the A's are going to get to them.
Exactly.
It's just a great pick, Todd. Hey.
Thank you.
Good pick.
Hey, got to come back.
I am going with my man, my Paizan, Giolito, back on the mound. I mean, do I need to retell you the stats for Giolito?
10-1.
He's a dog again. Okay.
He's 10-1.
Unbelievable. And what do they know that we don't know?
Somehow he's a dog. He was a dog last because he's the last 2 starts, he was against the Yankees, and he's on the White Sox, so you're automatically a dog there. Mm. And then now he's facing the Cubs and he's on the White Sox, so he's automatically a dog again. You give him a +125 is what I'm getting at. 0.43 ERA in June, 11-2 overall. He's won 9 in a row. Lester, he's got 2.45 ERA at home. But the White Sox are actually 10th versus left-hand pitchers, and Lester has not been as great lately. So I'm going with Giolito and the White Sox first 5, if that's okay with you guys.
I'll see that bet.
Okay.
I'll raise you a safer one.
Okay, safe.
You're going to give me Giolino +0.5 first 5 at -120.
I'll take that. You know what? I'm switching it to that.
Right?
Gumpy, I mean, that's why we bring you in here. You're just a smarter man. You look at all of the lines. You know, you don't have tunnel vision.
There's lots of those lines today. Like,
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch.
I'm like Milwaukee Brewers at San Diego. Zach Davies, 7-1, 2.60 ERA. Milwaukee first five plus 109.
What's it? Plus five?
First five plus 109. And I mean, he's going up against Matt Strom.
Are you taking that one?
Yo, 100%.
I'm going to double stamp you. Yeah. I had that one as well. I think that's a no fucking brainer. Nice. I mean, let's go. Zach Davies?
Got a couple of no brainers today.
And then there's even one more here. The Philadelphia Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
They're plus a half, minus 105 with Zach Effen on the mound with a 2.87 ERA.
I mean, what are we doing here?
And it's against Corbin. I mean, Corbin got paid a lot of money by the Nationals, but he's been anything but great this year.
Todd, let me ask you this.
All right, buddy.
Do you trust the Giolito plus a half or more? Mm-hmm. Or the under 3.5 first five in that game? Because we can only do one.
I personally picked the under 3.5 for that
game. I know
you
did.
I mean, Lester is good at home, boys. He's good at home. He has a low ERA there. And Giolito should shut them down completely. So I could see this being, like, at the most, two runs in the first five.
At the most?
At the most.
Okay. So what should I do? White Sox
plus I will go with the consensus.
Okay.
I am afraid that like the Cubbies are going to come out of there like 1-0 after the fifth or 2-0 after the fifth. That's what I'm afraid.
I understand. And that's, you know what? I'm okay with that. I could definitely make the move to the White Sox and the White Sox Cubs under for that game. Because, yeah, like I just said, Lester's 2.45 at home. Mm-hmm. And then Giolito is...
And they're excited. Like, they just caught up to the Brewers, right? So, you know, I think this could put them in front. I don't know.
They're all good bets.
They're all, hey. It's all good bets. We don't make bad bets on this show.
They're all on the right side.
That's where we live. Right? We live on the right side.
So what are we going to do there, we think?
We're going to go under. We're going to go with White Sox and Cubs under. And then, Gumby, who did you have for Phillies and Nats? What were you saying?
I was plus a half for first five, minus 105.
Phillies. For the Phillies.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's is that with Arrieta and Scherzer? No, that's the Eflin.
No, that's the morning.
Because they're playing a doubleheader today.
Yeah, that's the morning game. And I would stay away from that Scherzer game because you don't know what's coming out of him today.
I doubt. You could pitch with a broken nose, right, Todd?
I would assume. I mean.
He's a gamer.
I mean, yeah, I would pitch with a broken nose. Gorans, would you pitch with a broken nose?
Absolutely not.
What do you mean, absolutely not?
No, heavens no.
What do you mean?
No, I'd take a 2-week break and then come back and join my team up and my nose is right. What the hell are you talking about?
I mean, when you throw the ball 90-some mile an hour, I mean, you put a lot of effort into that. I could see that hurting like a motherfucker every time at the point of release because all that pressure goes straight broken nose.
There's rumors coming out that they're talking about dealing Scherzer, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What, he ends up on those Yankees? Look out.
Gump on the rumors, on the pulse of the rumors. Right. I love it.
So we spit out a lot of information there. Let me see the games that we've taken care of. We took care of the White Sox and the Cubs game. I am taking Giolito first five. Todd is going under the 3.5, and I agree with that as well. Probably be on that one as well.
Okay.
We're going Brewers plus a half. For the first five, because you got decent value on that, because Davey's on the mound. And then Strom is on the mound for the Padres. 13 earned runs in his last two starts.
Oof.
Brewers 17-9 in day games.
Oof.
So something to think about there for the Brewers game. We also covered, what else did we talk about here?
I got one more MLB for
I got
you.
One
did
more
we talk about the A's, or was I just on that list?
Todd likes
the A's. Yeah, I had them first five run line.
Oh, yeah, and I said... A's Orioles are 7-21 in day games. Yoka Bonus is the opener.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about that. Gumpy had the Diamondbacks and the Phillies. And then Todd, what else you got, buddy?
I have the Houston run line at Cincinnati. There's just no fucking way they get swept by the Reds in this series. Gerrit Cole starting for Houston. He's 2-0 with a 3.00 ERA in day games. I know this game's getting ready to start, so it might be a little late to get action on it.
It's okay.
But I absolutely love this pick. There's no way, no way they get swept.
I'll add on to that.
Yeah, too. I was also going to Astros run line. The Reds are 28th versus right-handed pitchers the last 20 days. Gerrit Cole is obviously Gerrit Cole. The Reds are one of the worst teams in day games, 10-21 mm-hmm. versus the Astros, who are 12-6 in day games. We're going to go with the Astros there. Any other baseball games from anybody? Gorms, what do you got, buddy?
I'm going over in the Mets-Atlanta game. That's over 9.5. Both teams, the Mets are 1-6. They're very, very strong. Atlanta's got a bunch of bats in the lineup. They did not show up last night, but they've been scoring a lot of runs. So have the Mets. I like the over 9.5 combined in that game.
Okay.
I like it.
So that's all. We just spit out a lot of baseball information for you. Best of luck on that. Gorms, do you have any other WNBA games? No, because there are no other WNBA games.
Well, there's one playing as we speak, Tony.
Oh, yeah,
remember the Indiana Fever? I gave you a futures yesterday. I took the Indiana Fever.
How's that doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. So far, so good.
What do you mean, so far, so good?
It's a tight game, Tony.
And what was the line?
1.5.
Okay. So it's just doing okay? Or?
It's a winner. It's a winner. Just Tony, will you let the pot roast cook, please?
I mean, it's a live show. It's 57-56.
What did I tell you?
In the third.
What did I tell you?
And you got Indiana -2, if I remember correctly?
1.5.
-1.5?
Yeah.
Well, you're losing right now, so I don't know how great you're doing.
Let the pot roast cook. It ain't done yet. Jeez, OP.
Do you have any fucking Women's World Cup?
I do, actually. Okay. I went 1-1 yesterday with my Australia.
You got Brazil.
Did, yeah.
Well, you got the Brazil winner.
Got the 1-0, yeah, the 1-0 victory. No, that was the over. I took the over.
But then remember I said I couldn't put the over
in
the parlay.
So I took the Brazil there. Yeah. I mean, I guess I did win both of them then.
Yeah, I mean, Australia was -5,000.
I don't care.
So congrats there.
Win's a win. Anyway, today I am going with the underdog, and that is Team Japan. They are getting a goal against England. England, the better team, Gump. England.
Agreed.
The better team.
Yep.
But there's something brewing in Japan and this woman's team. They're getting a goal. The worst that has happened is you'll get a draw on this. Best will happen, you'll get a win. There will be no losses.
You want me to go +0.5 or -130 for Japan there?
+0.5, minus.
That covers your draw.
Yeah.
Covers your draw and their win.
I'll take it.
And it's in the parlay. Gump actually doesn't have to root for England in the Women's World Cup because Canada actually has a soccer team.
Oh, nice.
They're actually pretty good normally too, right?
Yeah, they just struggle to score goals. Like, I think both the first game was 1-0 and the second game was 2. They're not scoring 13 goals, let's say that.
Yeah, well, not everyone's America, okay? Does anyone have any other fucking picks for today? No?
I have none.
If you forever hold your peace, okay?
Holding it.
Let's go through the cup of coffee a day parlay for today. The New York Liberty -2. The Arizona Diamondbacks +5. The Oakland A's +5. The Oakland A's is the run line +5. The Brewers is run line +5. But on the other side, Chicago White Sox, Chicago Cubs under the 3.5. The Phillies +5, run line. The Stros run line game. New York Mets, Atlanta Braves over 10, and Japan +0.5. Nice little fucking smorgasbord of picks here today.
Let's
boys.
Go.
I like it.
5 to win $911.67.
Let's do it.
On a Wednesday?
Not bad.
Just nice $900 in your lap on a Wednesday?
Yeah. And don't forget this, Tony. You started out this show like a puddle. You were just a mess.
I was not a mess.
But you just pulled it together.
You were a mess. You couldn't handle that I was doing other things while starting a show.
That's fine, Tony. Just be
multitasking.
I know, but I'm speaking for the listening audience. Be better, Tony.
We'll talk after the show.
Shots fired.
We'll talk after the show.
You know I like this ride to run smooth. Come on now.
Gorms. Gorms, we'll talk after the show. Don't embarrass me in front of my friends like that ever again. Okay?
I'm here to help.
Good luck to everyone
Good
besides Gorman.
Good luck.
And we now give you our 32 teams in 32 days-ish with the Buffalo Bills.
Nice.
We are on to another day of 32 teams in 32 days-ish of our NFL preview here at Bro Bets. Today we have the Buffalo Bills, and we have beat and sideline reporter and host of WGR 5550, Sal Capaccio. Sal, how you doing, buddy?
Excellent, guys. Thanks for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
And did I nail the last name?
Capaccio, yeah, you got it, absolutely. A lot of people butcher that, but it's pretty good.
Well, my name ends in an O, too, so I just went in really confidently and just decided to wing it there and see what we came
well,
out with.
Well, you did well.
So the Buffalo Bills this year, 6-10 last year, Vegas has decided to set the number of wins this year at 7. How do you feel about the number of 7 with this year's Buffalo Bills team?
Well, if they don't get to 7, we're having serious conversations at the end of the year. If they don't get to 8, I think, we're having serious conversations about job security in the organization for guys like Sean McDermott. maybe even Brandon Beane, but most likely more so McDermott. I mean, you got to think, guys, this was a 6-win team last year, and they were historically bad on offense for most of the year. They turned it around when they made some personnel changes and Josh Allen got back on the field towards the end of the season. But, I mean, they were literally on pace to break NFL records in a negative way on offense. And the defense was really bad the first six quarters of the year, and then they became one of the top defenses in the league. But for them to only win, still win six games with all that, if they don't get with all of the additions they've made, and they spent a lot of money, they really revamped the offensive line tremendously. They brought in wide receivers. They really tried to help Allen. And they have the same defense coming back, plus Ed Oliver, basically. I think if they don't get to eight wins, there's a lot of disappointment here, and there's going to be a lot of questions.
Yeah, so I'll just build off of some of the things you just said there. You said they brought in some wide receivers. Do you think John Brown, Zay Jones, and Cole Beasley are enough for Josh Allen to continue to progress as a passer? And are they looking for Josh Allen maybe to run less this year and be more of a passer?
Well, yeah, I think you don't want to see your quarterback, you know, hurdling Anthony Barr on a weekly basis.
Setting
obviously.
Setting records.
You know, you want to see him making good decisions. But look, Allen's a running quarterback. He's a very athletic quarterback. He's big. And one of the things I think, you know, I've heard a lot of this offseason is, boy, you know, I mean, he has to throw a lot more and run a lot less, and I'm sure they want him to. And I want to say, well, you know what? I think you want him to run when it's available to him and tell him don't be afraid to, because it's part of your arsenal. And here's the other thing. He's so, as opposed to a lot of other running quarterbacks we've had throughout the NFL in years past, you know, the difference with Allen is he has such a great arm, and he can throw the deep ball so well that when they spread the field and get guys vertical, I mean, guys, I'm on the sidelines. There is literally 20 yards of nobody. I mean, it's nobody standing there. And that's why Josh is like, okay, I'll just take off and run. And why would you take that away from somebody? But sure, I think that the evolution of Josh Allen has to be become a better pocket passer, become more accurate. How can we help him do that? But I'm also not going to neuter him if I'm his coach and say, you can't run and we want you to stay in the pocket. Hey, man, if it's available to you, you're good enough at it, just go and take off and take that first down.
Completely agree. We actually interviewed him and Harrison Phillips at the Super Bowl. And when you meet Josh Allen and you shake his hand, he is an imposing human. Like he is a ginormous human.
Yeah.
So I think he's fine running. I think he could hold up on his own. Gorms, did you?
I did. Sal, this team was on a free agent frenzy at the flea market, over 20 free agents. Who are you most excited about covering this team that you're saying, okay, I want to see this guy's wearing the colors?
Well, I think the receivers they brought in, John Brown and Cole Beasley, because of the intrigue for them, right? I mean, with Josh Allen, what can they do? And to go back to your earlier question, are they enough to help him improve? Yes, they are, but that's not a finished product. I think the Bills are still working on that receiving core. The tight end situation is still up in the air with them. But I think for John Brown to be able to add speed to that receiving core, to go along with Robert Foster, who was tremendous at the end of the year last year when he finally played as an undrafted free agent, and then Cole Beasley underneath. That's really good to help Josh Allen. I'm also really excited to see Frank Gore in a Bills uniform, be honest with you. I mean, this guy just defies, you know, age. And Father Time, he's still beating him, just like Tom Brady, basically, especially at that position that he's playing. I would say the other guy that's really intriguing is Mitch Morse. Now, we all know that Eric Wood had to retire a couple of seasons ago because of a neck injury, and the Bills went out and they signed Russell Bodine, and it just he just wasn't the answer at center. He also had an injury. Mitch Morse, they made him the highest paid center in the league, $11 million a year. And I think some of that is a little overpayment because you need the player. But Mitch Morse is a good player. He's going to help Josh Allen. And I think they hopefully stabilize that center position.
I like the Tyler Kroft kid, too, coming in, big tight end. So, I'm glad that they got busy on this. Obviously, he's kind of like, let's win now. And the running back situation that you mentioned, Shady over there, Frank Gore, T.J. Yeldon. How busy is that room going to be? Is there an overflow of running backs there, or does it end at Yeldon?
Well, there is a bit of an overflow, and you have to put Devin Singletary in there, too. They drafted him in the third round. They're not going to cut him. 66 touchdowns at FAU on the ground. Pretty remarkable. He actually runs a lot like LeSean McCoy. There's been a lot of speculation about LeSean's future in Buffalo. I'm going to pat myself here on the back, guys. I've been one to say since last trade deadline, they're not trading LeSean. They're not cutting LeSean. Wait till they get to training camp. We'll see what happens. I think all bets are off, but I always was very confident with people I've talked to that LeSean would be here through this offseason. And the reason is they don't have any financial situation where they have to do anything with him. They cleared the salary cap very well. They had a lot of money available to them. They have no salary cap crunch or issue there, so they can keep LeSean. And, you know, he's still a guy that they're hoping bounces back with this offensive line revamped. And then I think they can still keep four running backs. I went and actually did the numbers last year. They did keep four running backs. They just had three active and one inactive most weeks. So maybe one week it's Frank Gore. Maybe one week it's Devin Singletary. But I do think all four running backs make the roster. I don't know what that means for the guy who's now wearing number 32 after the only guy to wear it since O.J. Simpson, which is Sonoris Perry, who's mostly a free agent. I mean, a special teams guy. They signed him as a free agent, but that's interesting as well.
You mentioned Robert Foster. I'm a big Robert Foster guy. I'm from Pittsburgh, and I watched him play there, and he was incredible. How about a guy that I watched this year, and I was surprised that he fell and was not a draft pick, but David Sills, has he done anything in camp?
You know, I get asked this question a lot because a lot of people saw the production at West Virginia, obviously. And, he was a pretty big name for a lot of people not to get drafted. The thing about David Sills is, if you go back to the Senior Bowl guys, he kind of got pushed around. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at West Virginia, he didn't have to play on the line and go against a lot of press covers. A lot of things with that offense were set up for him to find zones, find spots, get open. He has great hands, no doubt. He's very good football IQ. He understands the game from a quarterback. He's an athlete. But he has to get stronger, and he has to be able to go against defensive backs at this level a little bit better. Not just, you know, press coverage, but running in and out of routes and kind of separating himself. And I think that David Sills, to me, would be a really good practice squad player because he'll learn that on the practice squad. I just don't think there's really any room for him on this roster right now.
I'm excited, Sal, about this Ed Oliver. And what has he shown you? And I know it's June, but what has he shown you so far in media sessions, walkthroughs, mini camps?
Well, the guy just wants to play football, and he wants to win. He seethes football. He just really loves it. And, you know, that Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean always talk about the DNA of the players they bring in, what kind of DNA they have. And they've always wanted guys who, you know, the word culture gets confused a lot. We have a lot of debates about it on our radio station and, you know, what it means, what it doesn't mean. It gets thrown around pretty loosely. And I think it can mean a lot of things to a lot of different people. And what it means to this organization, they believe in it, but what it means is they want people that football is very important in their life. You know, that's what they work hard for every day, to be great at it. And they got a guy in Ed Oliver who I think really embodies that. And look, I mean, when you have a guy like Kyle Williams retire, who is a Wall of Famer someday in Buffalo, who has been a multiple Pro Bowl player, we all know what kind of great career he had. When you have him retire and you can just go out and get a guy like Ed Oliver and plug him in, I mean, that's a pretty seamless transition because Ed Oliver is very much like Kyle Williams. He's been compared to Aaron Donald. What I've been impressed with is just, you know, his body at his size and the fact that he's able to move so well and penetrate so well, you know, it against NFL offensive linemen who are obviously clearly much bigger.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay on the defensive side of the ball. I think that the Bills have one of the better safety duos in the league with Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. But what about the corner position in the secondary? Is that still a question mark for the team?
Well, not with Tre'Davious White there. He's one of the best in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, Tre'Davious White, that obviously, you know, he was taken a couple of years ago when the Bills famously passed up on Patrick Mahomes and traded down in that draft. But they did wind up grabbing Tre'Davious White, and he's been a tremendous player. I think he's a top five corner in the NFL. But opposite him, it's been a bit of a question. But last year, they may have found the answer because Levi Wallace, who played with Robert Foster at Alabama, also an undrafted free agent, played really well when he was inserted into the starting lineup. The problem is he's long. He's just not really big. He's kind of like David Sills on the defensive side. He's not very physical in the run game. He has to get stronger. He was outfought for a couple of balls. But right now, guys, through OTAs and minicamp, he's looked good, and he's been locking down that spot. But they did go out and sign Kevin Johnson, former first-round pick for the Houston Texans. Yep. And I got to tell you, he's looked tremendous this camp. The problem he's had is staying healthy, but if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to push for that corner spot opposite Tre'Davious White. And, you know, Kevin Johnson can be the type of player he was when he was drafted just, 5 years ago now for the Houston Texans.
Oh, he's a bargain, too. He's a bargain.
There you go. That's right. They went out and got because of his injuries. That's absolutely right. They went out and they signed E.J. Gaines. I really love their slot corner, Taron Johnson. He had some issues staying healthy last year because, just like Kevin Johnson, he kind of plays reckless abandon sometimes with his body, and they go off. They have to understand, you know, when to dial it down a little bit when they're hitting people and how to do that. And hopefully that's the case. But Kevin Johnson, he's going to push for that job with Levi Wallace.
All right, new ownership. What do you think? Couple of years in for the Pegulas, a huge transition from a legendary family owning this franchise to the Pegulas.
Yeah, well, actually, it's been 5 years now, right? Which is pretty remarkable to think about. 2014, but you know, people don't know. Maybe your listeners don't if they don't follow hockey. They also own the Buffalo Sabres. Mm-hmm. They bought them in 2011, so they own both sports teams in town. And you know, they've created a umbrella called PSE, Pegula Sports and Entertainment, and that's kind of like the entire body. And there's a lot of synergy between the two organizations and things like that. And I think that's what we love here in Buffalo. There's a kind of a saying, it's one Buffalo they've created here because they're trying to make everything into one. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're still learning. They're still learning in a lot of ways. The hockey team hasn't been successful, obviously. The football team did break the playoff drought under their ownership, which is great. But they're still trying to find their way in a lot of different regards. I'll say this about the Pegulas. You know, they've gone through a lot of changes. They've let go of people. They've hired people. I still think they're trying to find the right kind of business people. But the one thing that every single fan wants out of their ownership is the willingness to spend money mm-hmm. to win. And Terry and Kim Pegula are willing to spend money to win.
That's, I mean, beautiful. That's one of the big...
Yeah, congrats, Bills fans.
Yeah, the last part of the season for the Sabres was not a great one. No. We were following that on this show and going against them quite a bit.
Right,
but that's besides the point. Sal, we'll get you out of here on this. We've done it with everyone. We ask for, in June, we're making you do this in June, for week one, plus 3.5 versus the Jets. I will let you know that the Jets person that we had on said that the Jets will cover the 3.5. So what do you think?
Well, I will tell you guys, to prepare for this, I listened to that show and I listened to Connor and I wanted to know what I was in for with you guys, just so you know. So I had to listen to the show.
That's smart.
And Connor did a very, very good job, but he was really confident in that line. 3.5. He was confident in the over for the Jets win total for the year, but look, I got to be honest. I think the Bills and the moves that they've made and the fact that they have a third year in a row under Leslie Frazier on a defense that's returning everybody and they're going to win with defense again this year, I think they're going to be ready to rock and roll into the season kind of in midseason form on that side of the ball. And I think the Jets, you know, they're getting the Jets week one after a transition, new GM, new head coach. You know, there's still some questions on the O-line. I think the Bills can keep that game, you know, close enough, at least if they don't win it, to be at least a field goal game. I think that half point is going to matter. So I'm going to take the Bills plus those points. I think they can win the game, but even if they don't, I think it's a very close football.
Sally, I love that.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're a gambler at all, but that, I mean, the Bills and Jets always play it tight. And that little half there makes a big difference and a reason why you might take a look at the Bills there. Sal, we thank you so much for coming on today. I saw that the Bills had an off day for OTAs, a little team building. You know what they're doing?
I have no idea. Who knows? They could just be, maybe they were doing paintball or, you know, like there's a place here in downtown Buffalo you can throw axes. And I know last year a bunch of the players went and they threw axes. It was kind of interesting, actually. Maybe do something like that. Or, guys, they may say, we're just letting you guys get the hell out of here and enjoy your 6-week break before training.
That would not be bad at all. Sal, thank you so much. Follow him at Sal Sports. Catch him on WGR 550. Thank you so much, Sal. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sal.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.